Today's daf is Lamed Zayin. We're going to start in the middle of Lamed Bet, Lamed Bet at the Mishnah. Hakol ne'emanim al mumei maaser. So we talked about last time the Bechor, and who's ne'eman about a Bechor, that we're worried with the Bechor, that maybe the Kohen was inflicted a blemish on purpose, and therefore Kohenim were not ne'emanim, but we said Yisraelim were ne'emanim, although there were, it depended if he was working for a Kohen, but okay. Then, that was obviously a subject of debate. Now we're going to see that everyone is ne'eman about maaser. Okay? According to Rashi, we're talking about the in a case where it was the ninth one accidentally and not the tenth. Okay? Because on the tenth, there's really no concern. There's really no concern at all. Right, 1 second. In the Asiri Amrinan Eino Ne'achav Eino Takana Ela B'mum. So, on the second. Okay, it's the ninth. The issue is, so I got confused. It says that kol ne'emanim al mumei maaser. The point is that for sure, the Mishnah doesn't even need to tell you that when it's the 10th, everyone's ne'eman, because nobody's going to lie about the 10th one, because the 10th one gets brought to the Beit HaMikdash to be sacrificed. So there's an assumption here also. There's two assumptions. One is that we're talking about Zman HaMikdash. In Zman HaMikdash, since you have an option of what to do with the 10th, there's no concern, and that matches the opinion that we saw yesterday about Bechor, that in the Zman HaMikdash, when you can bring it, then there's no chashash because you have what to do. The Rambam disagreed with that. But when it's not Zman HaMikdash, but in Zman HaMikdash, what they're saying is when the ninth one, then you're really more stuck, because the ninth one you can't bring to the Mikdash, and it becomes kind of like a Bechor after Zman HaMikdash, where the only thing you could do is wait around for it to get a moon. And yet, everyone is still ne'eman. And now the question becomes, why are you ne'eman on this ninth one when there's really nothing you can do with it? Okay? Now, why can't it be after Zman Beit HaMikdash? Because then you'd have to wait for the ninth and the tenth, right? Anything you would be stuck with after Korban. So this kind of is a sneak preview into Bechorot Nun Gimel, where we're going to see that they were Mevatel Maaser Behema B'Zman, like after the Korban. Okay? You could say, well, maybe there was some time in between, and maybe this is referring to the time in between, but at a certain point, they were Mevatel Maaser Behema. You're going to have to wait till Nun Gimel to see why. My time. So why is everyone ne'eman al mumei maaser? Dibai shada be'muma me'ikara. Because if he wanted to, he could have inflicted the mum before. Again, what's the difference between this and Bechor? Where Bechor, you can't be matal the mum ever, because Bechor is kadosh mirechem. In this case, what could you do? You could say, oh, I'll put a mum in the one that's going to come out 10th, and, you know, then I could have put a mum in the beginning, and that's why I'm ne'eman. But then, that obviously doesn't work, because miyada he'nafik. How's he going to know, right, which one is going to come out 10th, right? V'chitema mafik le b'resh asara. If you might say, maybe he could make sure it's the last one of the 10th to come out. Lo yibaker ben tov l'ra. It says, you can't choose which is going to be the 10th. It has to be random when they're coming out, because you can't kind of make the 10th one be your worst animal. Likewise here, you can't put in a mum before, you can't blemish the animal before it comes out. But, right, because the pasuk says that. Ella, dibaye shade be'muma b'kula adre. We saw this yesterday, b'kula adre. He could have been matamum in all of his animals, which was okay, because again, the only issur is lahatil mum b'kodashim, and these are not sanctified yet. So since he could have done that, we believe him about mumei maaser. Okay, the Mishnah says, b'chor shenismet eino v'shenikta'a yado v'shenishbara raglo. Okay, you now have a Bechor. These are the kind of things that are pretty, you know, clear and obvious. So, right, he's blinded, his arm is broken off, his leg is broken. Yishachet al pigimol b'nei ha-Knesset. Okay, this is interesting. What does Knesset mean? It's a good question. Are they people that go to the Beit HaKnesset? Are they any random Jew, basically? Like anyone part of the assembly, you know, as a general rule? There's all different explanations of what exactly it means, but it sounds like it means three hediotot. Okay, if you have three hediotot to say so, it's fine. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu yesham kaf gimel, eino nishchat el al pi mumche. What's kaf gimel? So some people say, right, Kaf Gimel is, there were three Sanhedrin. There was the small ones of three, the middle-sized ones of 23, and the large one of 71. What it means is even a Sanhedrin can't judge. The only one who can do it is a mumcha, someone who really knows about Bechor. Although it seems to me that he's not necessarily saying even the Sanhedrin. I think what he means is even a large number of people. In other words, it's not a matter of numbers, you know, and he's using 23 because the three of the 23 from Sanhedrin, but even a large number of people can't do it. It has to be a specialist. Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Travayu Mishmei de Rabbi Yoshua Amrei. Okay, so Rabbi Simlai and Rabbi Yoshua, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, both in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said the following. And some people say it was Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Travayu Mishum, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Amrei, or the other two said it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. And that they said the following: Hatzarat bechor b'chutz la'aretz al pi shlosha b'nei hakneset. To be matir bechor in chutz la'aretz, all you need is three b'nei hakneset. Okay. In other words, in chutz la'aretz, bechor in chutz la'aretz is more of a mekel din. Okay. Why? According to the Gemara in Tmura, a bechor of chutz la'aretz doesn't need to be sacrificed even b'zman hamikdash, because we don't want to bother people to go from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael every time they want to eat a bechor. So a bechor of chutz la'aretz is more lenient. So now they say, so that's mutar al pi shlosha b'nei hakneset. So now they say, I'm a rava, ubimumim muvhakim. Only in, you know, type, the stronger type of mumim. So then they say, my kamashmalam, what's Rava coming to teach us? Tanina, we already have that explicitly in the Mishnah. That's our Mishnah. B'chor shenismete no, b'shenikta yado, which are mumim mufakim, b'shenishta b'rava galo, hareze yishachet al pi shlosha b'nei hakneset. So now what do they say? No, because eat, and then why is Rava telling you this if it says it in the Mishnah? Imi matnitin, if we learned it from the Mishnah, hava mina b'chutz la'aretz, afilu mumim she'ein mufakim. We would have thought in chutz la'aretz, maybe three hedyotot would be enough, even if it's not a mum mufak, okay? For any kind of mum. Because again, once we're mekel in chutz la'aretz, we could be mekel, right, on anything, maybe. V'hayde katani mufakim, and the reason why it specifically talked about mufakim in the Mishnah was because, l'hodiyacha kochot Rabbi Yossi, to teach you that even a mum mufak, right, remember, when there's two opinions, one is more mekel, one is more machmir. Why did they pick specifically this case? Maybe it's to tell you not that a mum she'ein mufhak couldn't, right? But that a mum she, even a mum mufhak, Rabbi Yossi says, you still need a mumche. Okay? Kamash malan, and that's why Rava comes to teach you that in chutz la'aretz, a mum mufhak is mutar yidei shlosha mumchim, but not a mum she'eino mufak. Okay, in case you might have thought that the Mishnah gave the case of mum and mufakim to teach you the chiddush of Rabbi Yossi, that he's machmir in that case, but it would apply also to mumim she'eino mufakim, comes Rabbi to teach you, no, mumim mufakim, even in chutz la'aretz, need a mumche. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. Safek mishmei de Rav, safek mishmei de Shmuel. Okay, remember this we're going to get back to this in a bit, that, like, you might have not paid attention to this part, that's why I'm telling you. It's unclear whether Rav said this or Shmuel said this. Okay, so Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba that he's not sure who said the following, Rav or Shmuel. Gimel mitiri shlosha mitirei mitabachor bimkom she'em mumche. If you don't have a mumche, then you can use three hedyotot, three regular people. So now they say, my kamash malam, what is this coming to teach us? Tanina, we already learned this. Hareze yishachet al pi shlosha b'nei hakneset, which sounds like the same thing. So again, why do we need this following statement? So what do they say? Imi matnitin, if we just had our Mishnah, what would we have thought? What's the added thing in what Rav or Shmuel said? It's only b'makom she'ein mumche, right? Our Mishnah didn't say anything about whether there's a mumche around or whether there's not a mumche around. So if we just had our Mishnah, havamina b'makom mumche, you might have thought, you're in a city where there's a mumche and there's three random people, you can just get three random people together and have them matur your bechor. So kamash malan b'mkom she'en mumcha'in b'mkom she'esh mumcha'lov. So Rav or Shmuel, whoever made this statement, is coming to teach you that the three hedyotot is only allowed if there's no mumcha. Okay? Now, where does this sound familiar to you from the three adyotot? We do this all the time, every once a year. Hatarat nedarim, right? We do it in front of three hadyotot. That's interesting. Even when there is a mumcha there, let's say there's someone who's more learned in the room, right? We don't necessarily choose him to do it. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Amram, Shlosha matirim et habachor b'mkom she'en mumcha. Shlosha matirim et haneder b'mkom she'en chacham. So notice here it says that gimel hadyotot only works for a neder when there's a chacham. Okay, so here they compare the two, hatarat bechor and hatarat haneder. It's interesting because they're two different things, really. Hatarat bechor means you need to have knowledge of mumim, although what they're really talking about here are mumim that are so clear that you don't really need, right? It's not a mumche, you wouldn't need a mumche to say, oh, he's blinded in his eye, right? He can't see, or I don't know, something pretty obvious, like a broken leg. Okay. So now they're going back to the statement that Rav Chiya bar Amram just said. He made these two statements, one about Bechor, one about the Neder. So three can be Ma'atir b'mkom she'en mumche. What's he coming to teach you? La'fuke midi Rabbi Yossi, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, who says, even 23 can't do it, you need a chacham. Shloshah mitirim et haneder b'mkom she'en chacham. La'fuke midi Rabbi Yehuda. Again, he says, to go against someone else's statement. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Titania, haparat nedarim b'shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda omer, echa mehem chacham. He says, one of the three, according to Rabbi Yehuda, has to be a chacham. Whereas according to Rav Chiya bar Amram, he holds like Tanakama that it could be anybody, right? Three people are fine. Doesn't have to be that one of them is particularly a chacham.
He actually said to me that he said,
right.
They can almost agree that if there's a chacham there, then there should be one in. He's saying if there's none, then you can manage with three.
Mm-hmm. I think that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, at least the way they seem to understand it, is that if you don't have one that's chacham, then you can't be matir and eder. Now, they're saying you can do three. If there's right, it doesn't say here specifically if there's a chacham or if there isn't a chacham in the neighborhood. But it sounds to me like Rabbi Yehuda would think, the way the Gemara is understanding him anyway, is that it can only be done as long as one of them is a chacham. And if one of them is not a chacham, there's no way to be matir the neder. It might not be that that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, but I think that seems to be the Gemara's understanding, because they're understanding, they're using it to explain this concept of b'mkom she'en chacham, and therefore they're saying he matches him and not him. Okay, now we have a funny line, I think. B'mkom she'en chacham kigon man. So we say there's no chacham around, so like who? Okay, so Amar Rav Nachman kigon ana, like me. I'd be a good example, right? It kind of sounds kind of funny. There's actually a debate about which statement this is referring to. It's b'mkom she'en chacham, but anyway, we'll leave that aside for right now. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, echad mehem chacham. Rabbi Yehuda says one of them has to be a chacham. So now let's delve into his opinion. Michlal dehanach kol dehu. Does it sound like he means as long as one is a chacham and the other guys don't know anything, like they're mamash am artsing? Really? Could he really be saying that? Okay, they feel like that's really, you know, shocking. So I'm Ravina, demistabri lehu v'savar. It has to be people who can be taught and they can learn. In other words, the idea is that there's one guy on the panel who knows what he's doing. He can teach the others, and if they're capable of learning, right, it's interesting, they always seem to think women aren't capable of learning. Here you see that they also thought there were men who weren't capable of learning, right? It wasn't just a thing against women, right? They felt like the society there split up into people who were, you know, and you can imagine in those days, there was that kind of society where some people were out in the agriculture and they weren't doing any engaging in intellectual activity in general. And their approach was, well, there's people who can learn and there's people who can't learn. So obviously it has to be the people who can learn. Now we're going to go into Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Afilu yesham asrim v'shlosha, right? You still need a mumcha. Amar Rav Chanan al Amar Rav, ein halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we don't paskin like him. So how they say, pshita, of course we don't paskin like him. We have a principle. We always know how to paskin. Yachid v'rabim halacha ke rabim. So he goes against the majority opinion, and therefore, obviously, we don't hold like him. So they say, no, ma'u detema nimuko imo. You might have thought, well, he has his reason with him. Some people explain this because his response seems logical. It's Bechor needs a mumche, so it doesn't matter how many random individuals you have, you need a mumche. Or some people say, in general, Rabbi Yossi always brought his You know, he had very logical opinions. And therefore, maybe you think that in general we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi against the Rabbim. Kam mashmanan. Okay, from here we can infer, right, the reason why he told us Ein alacha k'Rabbi Yossi was to tell you that even though nimu koimo, we don't paskin like him. Now, okay, remember I told you, don't forget that in the beginning we brought this statement. The Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba that he wasn't sure whether Rav said it or Shmuel said it. And the statement was, okay, so now, they say, we can infer from here that this must have been said in the name of Shmuel. Itmar, it was said in the name of Shmuel. Why? Tarte lamali. Okay, so now what happened? Rav Hananel said the name of Rav Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, which means that you don't need a mumche, it's enough to have three people. So therefore they say, if Rav Hananel said it in the name of Rav, then it doesn't make any sense that there was a separate time Rav said that Gimel Matirim Etabachor B'Kayim Sho'im Mumche. Therefore, it must have been Shmuel. Okay? The Gemara then obviously rejects that assumption because it doesn't make so much sense. It said, Chada Michlal de Chaver Te Itmar. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean that Rav made this statement on two separate occasions and there would be no purpose. No, it could be one was derived from the other. In other words, he said it, and then this one said it in his name, and that one said it in his name, and it could be it was all coming from the same source. And therefore, again, it's still not clear whether Rav said it or Shmuel said it. Maybe even here it would be more obvious that Rav is the one who said it because the statements match up, even though the statements don't match up 100%. Just because you don't paskan halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, again, you have to assume, it sounds like what the sugya is assuming is that even though the Mishnah says, harezi yishachet al pish losha, that the running assumption is, as the Gemara said, which is only when there's no chacham around. But if there's a chacham, then you would need to go to the chacham. Hashochet et habachor v'noda shelo hera'u. Okay, new Mishnah. You shecht a bachor. And then, what do? You sell it. And now, no dasha, right, you gave it to a kohen and the kohen sold the meat, let's say. Somebody ate the meat now. V'noda, and then it becomes clear, shelo hera'u, that he never showed it to a mumche, or to three people, right? It was never hutar. Okay, meaning this is a classic case of someone who kind of tricks someone else into thinking the food's kosher. They trusted him, and it turns out and this sounds like it's intentional because he knew it wasn't like an accident. He knew whether he showed it to a mumche or not. Masha achlo achlo. Once they ate, okay, so if they ate it, they already ate it. Biyachzir lahem hadamim. Okay, but we penalize him that he has to reimburse. Okay, this is a knas. He has to reimburse the person for what the person ate. Okay? Umasha lo achlu, and whatever was left, habasar yikaver. This is now forbidden bahana'ah, because they made use of kodshim that they weren't allowed to. So whatever's left happens to be buried. Biyachzir et hadamim. And he has to also reimburse him for the money. Okay? So he has to reimburse him for the loss. Let's start with the second case. He has to reimburse him for the loss because the guy now had to bury whatever meat was left. And whatever he ate, even though you say, well, the person benefited from it, so really they got their money's worth, but we're penalizing the person who did it because otherwise he'll go do this again. Similarly, and we'll show there's a bit of a debate whether this is the exact same case or different. If it was the exact same case, there would be a bit of a problem because the Gemara would then ask, why did you need this case and why would you need that case? And the Gemara actually doesn't ask it. So some people explain, based on different versions of the text here, that maybe this case is shogeg and not mezid. Okay? Hashochet et hapara umechara. He shechs the para and he sells it. Vinodashi trefa. Sounds like it's the same thing, because nodashi lo harau, nodashi trefa. It sounds like the person who bought it then figured out that it was a trefa. So some people say that the shochet knew, and some people say he didn't know. Masha achlo achlo, whatever he ate, he ate. Notice which words are missing here. V'yachzir lahem adamim. Okay? So our version doesn't have the words V'yachzir lahem adamim, which makes it sound like if he doesn't have to reimburse him for what he ate, that it was shogeg. And because it was shogeg, he doesn't have to reimburse him. But if you look in the Mishnah, like in the book of Mishnayot, there it appears with the words V'yachzir lahem adamim, which sounds like it's the exact same case. Okay, so Masha achlo achlo, Masha lo achlo, Hem yachziru lo et habasar, v'hu yachziru lahem et hadamim. Okay, they give him back the meat. What's he going to do with the meat? Well, he could sell it to a non-Jew or give it to the dogs, right? So they give him back the meat. We don't want your treif meat. We were looking for kosher meat. And he returns the money to them. Micharuhu lovdei kochavim, if they sold it to a non-Jew, oh, hitiluhu leklavim, or in other words, what happens? They found out, let's say they didn't go to the Beit Din yet. So what they do, they said, well, I'll at least sell it, right? I'm like, figure, okay, I lost my money right now. If I start to go to court and start to fight with the guy, by the time that happens, the meat will be spoiled. So either they gave it to the klavim, which means they got some benefit from it, less than what they would have. And machru lovdei kochavim, the assumption is you made treifa is worth less money generally. Yishalmu demei treifa. So what happens? They made money on it, like, right? They were able to sell it. So he has to give them the difference between the price of treif meat and the price of kosher meat. Okay, he has to give them the difference in the amount of money. There's an interesting debate here. What if he sold it to a non-Jew for a profit? Okay? Does the original seller still have to pay them the difference between demei treifa? Some people say yes, some people say no. Okay, because are they just reimbursing him for his loss? Or are we penalizing him because this is what he did and we don't care, right? Again, if it's shogeg and he's really not chayav, then maybe really he only has to reimburse them for the loss. And if they were able to sell it for a profit, even though demei treifa maybe goes for less, maybe there was a shortage of meat, maybe they were somehow able, the non-Jew was a rich guy, didn't care, and he was able to buy, you know, willing to buy it for a higher price, maybe then he doesn't need to reimburse. Tana Rabbanan. Hamocher, there was something else. There's a debate about who buries it in the first case. Okay, when it has to be buried, the Bechor. There's a difference, you follow the difference between the Bechor and the Treifa, and maybe this is also why the Gemara didn't ask, because the differences are obvious. The difference is that a Bechor you can't get Hana from, and the Treifa you can. So when it comes to the burial, who do we bury it? So there's a machlok at Achronim about this. The Sma says that the Lokach buries it because we don't trust the seller. So we don't want to give it back to him and have him bury it because maybe he'll sell it to somebody else. The Taz says it's the Mocher. But the Sma, though, says that even though in the first case it's the Lokach, in the second case we wouldn't have that same Chashash, because the owner still has what to do with it. He could sell it to since he could sell it to a goy, we're not worried necessarily he's going to sell it to a Jew, although one could say maybe he'll take a loss. Anyway. Okay. Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. They bring a braita. Hamocher basar l'chaveru, v'nimtza basar b'chor. He sells basar to someone, and then it turns out it was basar b'chor, meaning now he has to give it to a kohen. Or peirot, v'nim tzatzvalim. He sells him fruits, and he doesn't tell him that trumot ha'masrot weren't taken, and then he finds out trumot ha'masrot weren't taken. Yayin, v'nim tzai yei nesech. He gives him wine, and it turns out it was yei nesech. These are a bit of a different cases, because peirot, it's not like all of them are problematic, right? The similarity between them is if the person ate it, right, then he'd be eating Isser without having known that he was eating Isser. The difference is, Basar Bechor, it's a total loss. He has to give the whole thing to the Kohen. Peirot, it's not a total loss because it could be mafresh. And Yei Nesach, it's a total loss because it's forbidden Bahana'ah. Masha Achlo Achlo, again, if they ate it, and this is why they're all similar in the sense that they ate something forbidden. If they ate it, Masha Achlo Achlo, they ate already. V'yachzir lahem et hadamim, he has to reimburse them for what they ate. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Tvarim sha'nefesh katza behem, yachziru lahem et hadamim. V'she'ein ha'nefesh katza behem, yinakeh lahem et hadamim. If it's something that people find absolutely disgusting, like if it's something someone gave you, and you ate it, not knowing what it was, right? This is always what you don't know won't hurt you, right? Someone gives you something absolutely disgusting that, you know, I don't know, someone urinated on the food, and they didn't tell you, and then they tell you after. So that would be, if you heard it and you were disgusted by it, when you heard, then he has to return you the money. Because even though you ate it and technically got hana'ah, when you found out later, it's such a fascinating concept, that when you find out later what it is, you're so disgusted by it that your eating retroactively becomes like not an act of eating and not hana'ah. V'she'ein ha'nefesh katza behem, but if you're not disgusted by it, yinakeh lahem et hadamim, then you get to deduct that amount from what you owe them. In other words, if you gave them fruit that was tevel, and you he ate some of it, so you have to reimburse for the part he didn't eat, but you don't have to reimburse for the part that he ate. So now, what are people disgusted by? Nevelot utrefot shkatzim v'remasim. Okay, those are things that people are horrified if they ate, like an animal that, you know, died on its own, a trefa, shkatzim v'remasim, right? Creepy crawler creatures. Ve'elohin dvarim she'ena nefesh katzavim. B'chorot, tfalim, v'yenesech. Okay, those are things that really aren't, people aren't disgusted. Oh my God, I ate a b'chor, I'm horrified, right? That's not, you wouldn't feel that way, okay? Same with tevel and same with yenesech. It's interesting. I mean, some people, you know, have a very halachic, you know, approach. I could be pretty disgusted by that, but they put them in different categories because those are things that are forbidden always, like nevela, trefesh, katzim, v'remasim. And these are things that there's solutions to them, right? Bechor can be eaten under particular circumstances, and tevel, as long as you take truma monster. And yenesech, if you hadn't done the nesech to it, right? It's almost like nezek she'eno nireh, right? Like, it looks the same, it's just a non-Jew touched. Bechor. So now, they're going to say, so if these are things that ena nefesh katza behem, so now, what do we say? Yenake lehem et hadamim. So now, why? They're going to ask that question, which means that whatever part the person ate, you don't have to reimburse them for. Bechor, v'lema le mayav sadatich. The guy could say to him, the fact that I ate some of it, he could say back to the owner, it's not like I caused you any less of a loss. You, if you had had this before, you would have had to give the whole thing to the Kohen. So why should you deduct that amount from what I owe you? Lo tzricha ki gon dizavin le mimakom muma. Okay, it's for a case where he could sell it if, it's a case where he sold him, where he shechted it. One second, I have to remember this case exactly. He shechted it b'makomum, right? He sold him the part of the meat which already had a mum. And therefore he could say, okay, let's go on. Da'amarle, ilav da'achalt, hava machazina le v'shari niyale. Okay, in other words, I could have, ki Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a machloket about whether you can be matil, we saw this before, whether you can show it to a chacham after shchita. So he says it was a case where they shechted it b'makom mum, and if I wanted to, I could have showed it to a mumche, who would have matired it based on the mum. And therefore, you did cause me hafsed. Tfalim, the guy could say, hava metaknina lehu. I could have fixed it, right? Taken the Truma Maasrot and then I could have eaten it. So it was technically mutar to me. Yenesech al yidei ta'arovet ukirashbag. Okay, there's one opinion that holds, Rashbag's opinion, that if Yenesech gets mixed up with regular wine, okay, again, this, you have to find a case where the owner did sustain a loss from this, right? Because Yenesech, you say, the whole thing's forbidden by now. What if I caused a loss for you? Why are you deducting any amount? So what's the Rashbag opinion? Ditznan, it says, Nevo desara, Yenesech shanafal lebor, kulo asor bahana. If it falls into a bor of wine, good wine, the whole thing is forbidden bahana. That's Tanakama. From Shem ben Gamliel omer, Yimachir kulo lovdei kochabim, chutz midimei Yenesech shebo. Since you can't benefit from Yenesech, if you know 2 liters of Yenesech fell into 10 liters, so sell him for the value of 10 liters. You know, you could sell him 10 liters, you could sell him 12 liters for the price of 10. And then you don't end up taking a total loss, and that could work. Hadron alach kol psulei mekadeshim. We're now moving on. The next two parakim, we're going to deal with mumim, okay? Types of mumim. At least the next two, I forget. But the next one, I think the next two, I don't know, we'll see. But this one's going to deal with mumim of behemot, and then we're going to deal with mumim of bnei adam. Okay, I'm mentioning this today because we're going to talk a little bit about a comparison. There's also mumim that a kohen, if he has a mum in his body, if a kohen has a blemish, then he can't work as a kohen. Likewise, the animals can't be brought as sacrifices. Al elu mumim shochatim et habachor. These are mumim on which you can shecht a bachor. Nifgema ozno minachaschus. How do you pronounce that word? You call it schus in Hebrew, which is cartilage. Chaschus? Okay, minachaschus. If it's damaged in the cartilage of the ear, of aloha or, but not the skin. Because the skin can heal, the cartilage is damaged, there's nothing you can do, right? This is called a mum over versus a mum shelo over, right? A mum shelo over is the cartilage, but the skin, it will be over, it'll heal itself. Nistika, if it gets cracked, the ear. This sounds very much like trefa, right? It's cracked, even though it's actually not missing anything, right? Like it didn't, it's not like a piece came out. Nikva, that's where you get a hole. Some of it's not there anymore. So what size hole? Melo karshina, the size of a bitter vetch, okay, which is a type of legume. Okay, we're going to see exactly what, well, we don't know exactly what size. I saw actually in the Quran they had a footnote that it's the diameter is either 3.5 to 5.5 millimeters. Osha yavsha, where it became desiccated, totally dried out. Ezuhu yavsha, what does that mean? If it were to get a hole, no blood would come in. Rabbi Yosef ben Amshulam omer, yavsha shetei nefrechet, that once you touch it, it starts to fall apart. That's how dry it is, which is more dry than not having any blood inside it. Okay, so the Gemara starts off and says, Amai, Piseach v'iver k'tiv. Okay, so they say, why are these the type of mumim? Because really the pasuk says, okay, let's read the pasuk, Ki yeh bo mum, okay, Piseach o iver, right, if it's lame or it's blind. Kol mum ra, any bad mum, lo tizbachenu l'Hashem elokecha. So they say, why are you listing these? It says pisach v'iver, right? Which sounds like only pisach and iver and not anything else. So how do you get all these other ones? K'tiv nami, ki yihi yebo mum. Because it also says ki yihi yebo mum in the beginning, it sounds like it's including more things. So then they say, ve'ema, why don't we say, ki yebo mum klal. This is obvious we're going to get to this, right? Because it starts with a klal, generalization. Then it says, piseach oiver prat. Klal uprat, ein bechlal, ala masha beprat. When we have a klal uprat, we say, it only is what's like the prat. And these are not like the prat. Piseach oiver in, midiach renilo. Just those, nothing else. So they say, what do you mean? It says also, kol mum ra at the end. That's a klal again. So it's a klal uprat uklal. Chazar b'kalal, klal uprat uklal, yatadan ela ke'en haprat. Then we say, oh, anything that's like the prat. Ma prat meforash, mumim shebegaloi ve'en anchosrin. What makes piseach and iver? Well, they're things that are noticeable, and they don't get healed. Af kol mumim shebegaloi that are noticeable ve'en anchosrin. So now they say, wait, ve'ema, why don't you say like this, right? Once you start defining what defines these things, well, we can change the definition a little. Ma prat beforash, this is one of those classic cases where they knew the end game, right? They knew what this answer was going to be, so they kind of fit it into the equation. They said, but if you wanted to say that, we could say this. Ma prat beforash, mumim shebegaloi ubutal mimelachto, ve'eno chozer. Af kol mumim shebegaloi ubutal mimelachto, ve'eno chozer. The mumim and pisach and iver are things that you can't go back to work after those, after you do that, right? You have a broken leg, you can't see. But these things in your ear don't prevent the animal from working. And okay, so then they say, alamatnan if gemau is known min achuschus velo min aor. So then, why does it say in our Mishnah ozen if it's things that are batel mimelachto? So they say kol mum ra riboyu. It's not a klal uprat uklal. It's a riboy. Okay, which then would come to include even more things, right? When we say riboy, it means it includes not things that are exactly identical, but it's a general rule for other things that are, it's farther reaching. Ihachi, well, if you're going to say it's farther reaching, then what, you could go even farther and then go against what we, how we defined it. Mumim shebeseter nami. It shouldn't only be mumim shebegaloi that are noticeable. It should also be mumim that are hidden. And we already learned this yesterday. Alamatznan chutim achitzoniyot shenifgemu v'shenigmemu v'apnimiyot shenekru, which seems to imply what? These are the gums that are the outer gums, the inner gums. But they're ones that in the inner gums, it's only ne'ekru. Ne'ekru in nifgemu v'nigmemu lo. It sounds like only if they're totally uprooted, but not if they're just damaged. And what's the reason there? Because you can't see it. Remember that we said if he screams, then you can see, but you can only see if they're actually uprooted, not if they're just cracked. So therefore, what do they say? Be'ina mum ravaleka. It has to be a bad mum, and this is not a bad mum. Right? That's not something bad. In other words, bad means bad is noticeable. Right? Bad means it can be noticed as bad by other people. And if no one notices it, then it's not a bad mum. Ihachi mum over nami. Well, then maybe we should also include mum over. Right, even when the cures, because right now it's a mumra. Yes, it'll go away, but right now it's bad. Alamatznan, so why does it say velomina or, which seems to imply because that will heal itself. Mum over svarahu. So now we're going to say, the reason why a mum over is not a problem is because it's just logical. What's the logic here? Okay, we're going to have two answers as to why a mum over is not a problem. Hashta mifrak lo parkina nilave. When it comes to, now we're comparing bechor, we're talking about bechor and a mum and bechor, we're going to compare it to a korban that gets a mum. Okay, those are two different topics. One is a bechor that gets a mum and one is a sacrifice. When a sacrifice gets a mum, why am I specifically saying this? When a bechor gets a mum, you can't redeem it, right? A bechor can never be redeemed, remember? It just means you can shecht it, right? You can give it to the kohen, he can shecht it, or you can shecht it. But if you have a korban that gets a mum, what do we allow then? That's psula mukdashim. What do we do with psula mukdashim? We redeem it. Now, when it comes to mifrak lo parkina nilave, when it's a mum over, we don't allow you to redeem it. Therefore, let's make the comparison to bechor. Mum by psulea mukdashim would be the same as mum here. So since the mum over doesn't work to allow pidyon in a korban, in mishchat shachtina nilave, what, we're going to allow you to be shech this bechor based on it? No. We're going to assume mum across the board. It works for pidyon, right? Whatever works for pidyon is going to work for shlita of bechor. Whatever doesn't work to be poteh kachim, right, won't work for this. Now we obviously have to know, how do we know that a mum over doesn't work? You can't redeem it if it's a korban. Ditanya. Okay, here's a brayta. We're going to compare a few psukim about korban. Im kol behemat tmeah asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban la'Hashem. And then it goes to say, right, you have a korban that's tmeah, becomes impure. We're going to see what it means, impure, which you can no longer, you can't sacrifice. So what do? You redeem it. So they assume that when it says behemat tmeah, we've had this problem. Tmeah can mean so many different things. It doesn't always mean that it became impure. Bebaalei mumin akatub medaber. They're talking about baal mum here. Now the Gemara says, how do we know you're talking about baal mum? Bebaalei mum shenifdu akatub medaber. Are they talking about a baalei mum where you redeemed it, the animal? O eno ela bebehemat tmeah mamash. Or maybe it means a non-kosher animal, like you took a sus for a korban. So how do we know that it's not talking about if you took it? Let's say you said, I'm bringing this sus for a korban. What do we learn about this? What do? You redeem it. Because what did it really mean? It meant you're giving the value. It's kedushat damim and kedushat haguf. So how do we know that? We don't learn that from this pasuk, because we learn it. There's another pasuk that says so explicitly. Kishu omer ve'im ha'be'emah ha'tme'ah. Okay, that's pasuk kav zayin. This is all v'yikra kav zayin. I think it's Pasuk Yud Kaf Zayin also. It's not here in my Torah, or I don't know why. But there also it says, you do pidyon. Okay? So since it says it there explicitly, Hare behemat me'ah amor. Ha ma'ani mekayem asher lo yakrivu mimenu. So in our Pasuk where it adds the phrase, asher lo yakrivu mimena, what could that possibly mean? Ah, that must be something that could have been sacrificed and no longer can be. Heve omer zeba alei mumim shenifdu. Okay, that was all to establish. So far, we haven't gotten to our proof. We want to know, how do we know it has to be a mum that's not over in order to allow you to do pidyon? Yachol yifdu al mum over. Now we're getting to it. You might have thought that it could be al mum over, even a mum that's going to go away. Tamud lamar asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban la'Hashem. What does it seem to teach? Misha ena kreva kol ikar. It can only be something that can never be sacrificed. Therefore, it excludes something that can be actually sacrificed tomorrow. That was one answer to how we know. So again, where do we start with? Bechor, how do we know a baal mum can't, a mum over is not going to allow it? Because we're making the comparison, just like it's not allowed in psula mukdashim, it's not going to be allowed here. And then we proved, how do we know it's not allowed in psula mukdashim? Second answer, yibay thema, imken pisach viver lamali. Why did it tell you pisach viver? It could have told you any kind of something. So pisach viver came to teach you, and as even if we say it's a generalization, we could generalize as much as we want. We can't generalize that far away from it. Nistika afilu shelo chasera. Now we're going to say it's cracked even if it's not missing anything. Tanu rabanan hasedek koshu habgima ben bide adam ben bide shamayim. Sedek, any kind of amount of a sedek, a pgimam, when we say it's damaged either bidei adam or bidei shamayim, right? No matter how it got damaged, that's going to count. Bichlal, the sedek bidei shamayim lo. Are we going to say then a sedek is only if it was done bidei adam? Because it didn't say there, hasedek bidei adam or bidei shamayim. Ela, now they say no, don't infer that from the Braita. What it really means to say is sedek upgima bidei shamayim ben bidei adam, either which one. It's interesting, it reversed the order, I don't know why. V'kama shi'or pgima, and what's the shi'or of a pgima? Kidesha tachor bo tziporin. That means if you run your nail on it, we saw this before also with the trefer, your nail will get stuck in there, right? It'll go on something, right? It'll get caught. Okay, nikva melo, one second, the words in the Mishnah. Nikva melo karshina. Okay, that was the next case. So now they want to know, Tana Rabbanan kama nikivata ozen, machloket. Okay, even though the Mishnah didn't say machloket, the Braita says it's a machloket, melo karshina. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer bika adasha. Okay, these are two lentils. Okay, you know, one's, right, there are two legumes, sorry. One's a vetch and one's a lentil. The difference between them we're going to see. Ve'ezohi, or we're not going to see exactly, but we're going to see in the end that they're very similar to each other. They're not. It's not a big difference. Ve'ezohi yafsha, now we're going to drying out. She'in tinakev ve'ena motziati patam. Right, either, this we actually saw the machloket in the Mishnah. Here the Braita is just bringing a machloket in both cases. She'im tinakev ve'ena motziati patam. No blood will come out. Rabbi Yosef ben Hamashalom omer yafsha kadesh te'nefrechet. Right, they'll start falling apart, disintegrating. Tana, and the Braita says about this, krovim divrehem liot shavim. Seems like both these opinions are really very similar. So now they say, divrehem diman, on the first part of the Braita or the second part? Are they talking about the difference between melo karshina and ka'adasha? Or are they talking about the difference between if it is anamotzi adam or it's so dry that it starts cracking off? Ilei matan kav rabbi yosi aben ha-mashalom, the second case, tuva ika. There's actually a big difference between there's no blood in that's going to come out, or between totally falling apart. Ela tanakam Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda b'ka'adasha in b'tzir mecha'adasha. Oh, sorry. Ela tanakam Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda. Okay, the differences between them, ka'adasha and kikarshina, are not very different. So now they say ka'adasha in b'tzir mecha'adasha lo. It sounds like they're saying only the size of an adasha, but more than that, not. And that's going to contradict this other source. Uriminhi martzea. Now we're moving to a different thing. Okay, which means you have to have a hole, right? You have to have a hole that's the size of a lentil. That's bigger than, let's say, sticking a needle through, right? Sticking a needle through, you make a teeny little hole. So now we're going to show this source about a martzea, where it's going to show that there's an opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who said b'ka'adasha. He also says in this other source that if you make a hole in the eved, this is when you talk about you have to pierce a hole in the eved's ear, okay, which is similar, right? We're going to see the Bright is going to compare them, where there he says even with a needle. If he says even with a needle, there the hole is very small, and here the hole is very big, and there they're going to compare it to here. So we're going to see, okay? I know it's kind of getting late, but it's actually pretty quick, the rest of the daf, so we'll go through it quickly. Martzea, eli ela martzea, minayin lerabo hasol, vasira, v'amacha, v'amakdeach, v'amachtev. Okay, all different types of implements, a thorn, a palm thorn, the first is a palm thorn, a thorn, a needle, I think it's called a gimlet, like a drill bit kind of thing, v'amachtev, a stylus. Tamud lamar v'lakachta, kol davar shenokach b'yad d'ver b'yosef rabbi Yehuda. Here you have it already, okay? This is the contradiction. Because he says martzea could be even with something very small. Rebbe omer martzea, mar martzea miyuchad shel matechet, af kol shel matechet. It has to be metal. Bekatani seifa, and the seifa there says, am Rabbi Yudin beribi, the Rabbi Yudin the distinguished, hayad oresh, kishehen rotzin, ein rotzin ela b'milat. They only do it in the earlobe. V'chachamim omrim, ein evit ivri nirtza, mipnei shena sa ba'al mu. Ein evit ivri kohen nirtza. Here's the important part. In Eved Ivri who's a Kohen, you can't do it because what will happen? He'll become a Baal Mum. Now, put two and two together. What do you have? This creates a Mum, even though, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, even the needle. V'item b'milat hayu rotzin. If you want to say the earlobe where they were doing it, he'ach Eved Kohen nasa Baal Mum. Ha'ein rotzin. Okay, and therefore we say, ha'ein rotzin ela begova shel ozen. He also says it has to be, right, it wouldn't be a problem in the lobe, it wouldn't make him a balmum, it must be on the upper part of the ear. I'm Rav Hana Bar Katina, lo kashya. This isn't a contradiction. Kan lishchot, kan lifsol. Okay? What the teeny little hole is in order to allow the animal for shchit, what would you say? Kan lishchot and kan lifsol. Which is which? Lishchot, to allow it to be shochet, you just need a nekev. But to be posel the kohen milavod, no, sorry, the reverse. Right. In order to matir the bechor for shchita, you're going to need a bigger hole. In order to allow the kohen to
to forbid him
for a Baal Mum to be posel him, it's even a Mahat. Okay, and that's the difference. Okay, Mar Karshina, what is a Karshina? Amar of Trevia Hinda. Okay, that's a Vetch. Ba'amine Rav Hoshai Mirav Huna Rabba. Karshina ha-nechneset v'yotzeit or Karshina ha-omedet. When we say the signs of a Karshina, is it that you could put it in and take it out? Or is it a Karshina that's in the... kind of, you just would stick it inside. There's a difference. In order to put something in and out, you need a bigger size hole. We saw this exact same thing in other places, and we're going to actually repeat a sukkah we saw before. Amar lo, lozo shamati kayotze bashamati. I didn't hear about this, but I heard about something very similar, and I think from here I can get the answer. Ditnan. Hashidra v'halgogolet shachasru. Remember this? Tumat made. If you have a shidra or a gogolet, if you have a part of the body that's important, it's going to make bitame tumat oel, even if it's very small. But how much needs to be missing to say this is no longer mitame tumat oel? Kamach yisaron b'shidra v'lo yehe mitame tumat oel. Beit Sham ayomrim shtei chuliot, two vertebrae, ubeit ha'omrim chulia achat. Ubegulgolet, when it comes to the skull, beit Sham ayomrim kimelo mechdach, a drilled hole, ubeit Sham ayomrim kedei sheyinatel min achai v'yamot. In order, the amount you would take out of the person's skull, and he wouldn't be able to live anymore. V'yatav Rav Chisda v'kame ba'ela, and he asked the obvious question, kedei sheyinatel min achai v'kame, how much is that? Okay, that's a very nice shear, but how much would you have to take out? Amale Rav Tachli bar Rav Dimi, hach amr Shmuel, kisela, the size of a sela. V'itmar Rav Safra amar, v'itmar, and it was said about this, Rav Safra amar shmatita, he learned this from Shmuel the Amora, Amarle, the Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Matnita. He learned it from a Braita. Amarle. V'simanech, how do you remember who said it from a Braita? Who said it from the words of an Amora? Tane, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. There you have it. If you remember Tane that, you remember he learned it from the Braita. V'amarle. Okay, so now, what's the issue? He said, Imken asita divrei beit shamai v'divrei beit hilel achad. You're making these two things to be the same. If you say the Kadesh Yenatel Menachai is a Selah, that's exactly the same shear as a Melo Mekdach. Okay? So, how do we know this? Ditnan, ma'or, this is fascinating. I was thinking, why don't we call a window a ma'or? In the Mishnah, they call a window a ma'or because it brings in light. You have a window in a house. Now, what happens? A window allows tumma to go out the window, right? But it has to be a certain size in order for tumma to go out the window. Normally, there's tumma in the house. You open a window, the tumma can go out the window. Ma'or shalona asabi de adam. It fell out. Let's say a rock falls out of the wall, and now all of a sudden there's this window. Shiromalo egrof gadol. It has to be a big fist. V'zeu egrof shal ben avtiach. He was a big guy. His fist size. Amar Rabbi Yossi v'yeshno kirosh gadol shal adam. Okay, there could be kirosh gadol shal adam. V'yeshno kirosh gadol shal adam. What does he mean here? There's one second. Right, it's just saying that he's saying the shear is the big, all right, it's not the agrof, it's the size of the head of a person, okay? But, nasabi de adam, let's say it was a man-made chalon, shiro kemelo mekdach gadol shal lishka, the mekdach that sat in the lishka in the Beit HaMikdash, shehu kepunyon shal italki, it's the same size as a punyon ha-italki, that's a coin, uchesela nironi, sela, by the way, that we said before is a coin, okay, the sela from Niron, and it's also the hole that they made in the yoke in order to put the, Rashi says, in order to put the yate, to tie the ritsuo to the yoke. So, basically, he says, according to this, Mishnah, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are saying the same thing, because a malo mekdach is the same as this hole in the person's head, right? In the malo mekdach is the same as the sela, right? We said the sela is the head, is what's missing in the head that would make him die. Ishtik. So he was silent. Rav Tachlifa didn't know what to say. Ba'amrle Rav Chista, Shema Mekdach v'chisumo shaninu. He said, oh, maybe you mean the Mekdach v'chisumo, meaning how much it goes to go in and out. And here we see there's a difference between the size of the hole and the size that it needs to go in and out. And that would then answer our question that would be the case. Ba'amrle Rav Tachlifa, lo tema shema. So Rav Tachlifa answers him, right? He says, maybe what it means is that. He says, don't say shema, elavada. You're right. That must be clearly what it is. Mekdach b'chisumo tzarich litalot aleha. Right? That's what we need. Kechizkia avi ikesh. Just like we're going to see in this upcoming Braita, that he says that and nobody disagrees with him, and therefore he answered it before by saying, I don't know this shiur, but, you know, I see a similar case where we talk about the shiur so that it goes in and out, so therefore he assumes here it must be to go in and out. And we're talking about really minute, right, yes. differences.